Fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I just gazing at the scripture here at the last minute as I'm kind of looking down here. We're ready to launch. Got a man. Questions are good things, aren't they? Asking questions are good things. In fact, that's one of the things that I find as a pattern whenever Jesus is doing his teaching. Rarely, well, I shouldn't say rarely. Jesus does his most effective teaching when he asks questions. And I think we would do well if we did the same, as opposed to sitting in a church service or a classroom or wherever it was, wherever it is, and listen to someone lecture.
Amen.
If there's an appropriate lecture going on, an appropriate teaching that's taking place, it should engender questions. And as I learned a long time ago, the greatest truth you ever come to is one that you come to on your own. For instance, your mom can tell you not to put your hand on the hot stove. She can tell you every morning. Until you put your hand on that hot stove, you don't really get it, right? Then you get it, and you get it. We're really good at teaching theory or doctrine, or you put a lot of different names you could put on it, theology. We put a lot of things on it. And can I be honest with you, we are, for the most part, in religious circles, Christian circles, church circles, we really are never really encouraged to ask questions and go deep. And I've often said on this show that I want to go to a church service where during the course of the service, I can stand up and ask the pastor a question. I can say, whoa, wait a minute, pastor. What does that mean? What does that mean? You can't do that because it breaks the flow of the sermon, doesn't it? And it's sort of like I say here on the show every once in a while, hey, I'm trying to get my sermon going here. You guys keep interrupting me. You don't let me get to my sermon. When in fact, being wise enough to stop for a minute and say, whoa, you know, they don't understand this. I think I've used this illustration before when I was a football coach. Halfway through the season, every week you prepare differently for your opponent. Each opponent's different. You have to do what you do, and you have to do it well, because the other team knows what you're going to do, and so they try to stop what you do well. So every year we'd get halfway through the season, not every year, but almost every year, and we'd have a week where we'd go back to basics. We would come out on Monday, instead of begin to preparing for the next team, we would go back to blocking and tackling, stepping and using your hands, and just all the very basics of how you play your position. Because if it didn't matter how good a game plan that you had and how good the plays that you had drawn up were good, if the guys didn't block it effectively, it wasn't going to work. And one of the issues that I deal with here whatever we call this thing that we do here, excuse me, I got a cough, but I got to learn to start using it. Is there new people tuning in all the time? That's also the same problem that you run into in church. You have visitors. Last Sunday when I had the opportunity to speak in Brewer, Maine, one of the folks said to me before I stepped to the pulpit, they said it in a loving way, Coach, we have some new believers here. New believers here. So they may not, meaning they may not understand what you're talking about. And I thought, well, good. That's good. Should I not teach to the old believers? Do I just teach to the new believers? Do I teach this set of beliefs? What do you do? I run into that every morning here when I come into this, into the queue, because I don't know, really know who I'm addressing. And I want to keep this. I want to keep our studies lively and inspirational. But I just know when I start talking some of these things, people say, "Oh, he talked about that 2 weeks ago. I already heard that." And that goes on all the time in our churches as well, doesn't it? So the pastor's job on Sunday morning is that the pastor's job to preach to the lost, to preach to the found. It's a really important question. And I believe, from my standpoint, that Sunday morning service is not for evangelism. I mean, it is. But on Sunday morning, aren't you preaching to the, aren't you training, equipping, and mobilizing the saints on Sunday morning? Isn't that what you're supposed to do? If I have a new football player on my team, I don't dumb down everybody else as I try to get him caught up. I do spend extra time with him. Do one-on-one teaching to bring him to, up to snuff. As I said, I'm not anti-church or anti-pastor or anything. System's broken, boys and girls. It's broken. And we'll get into something today that I think is going to be interesting. Well, it was fun yesterday. You know, we did the teaching yesterday on where you go to, what happens when you die, where you go to heaven, what heaven is. We need to do more of that. But I know it really pricked the conscience of a lot of you out there, because I was getting emails till about 9 o'clock last night. People said, "Oh yeah, Chad Estes said, what did Chad say to me last night?" He must have been thinking about it all day. "Hey Chad, I'm going to blow the whistle on you, dude. All right, hang on with me." So Chad texted me just before I go to bed. He said, "I'm watching today's show. What if paradise is a staging area? Perhaps an area where souls are fitted with robes, or since the Lord is omnipresent, judgment day occurs as soon as you die." Chad says, "Is it possible that judgment day, 9 o'clock at night?" He's asking me this. Of course, he just watched it. Interesting things to ponder. I said, "Yeah, but everyone is at the white throne judgment. Everybody's at the white throne judgment, aren't they? Everybody?" And he says, "Well, it doesn't say we're there together, or does it?" And he says, he said something else, blah, blah, blah. Then he says, "Some will say your body is in the ground while your soul's in paradise." So we had people thinking, didn't we? And the truth of it is, we all think we know the truth till somebody points out something that goes against that truth. And that's why I love this show, because you don't have to agree with me. You don't have to agree with Larry. You don't have to agree with Glenn. You don't have to agree with the gunslinger. This is to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And whether we realize it or not, we all come to our belief in Christ and everything about Christianity based on a theological position that we got from someone else. Can somebody say amen on that? Come on, that you don't have to say it. You don't have to. Amen. I know I'm telling you the truth.
Amen, coach.
And what happens to us, amen, is we take that theological position or that theological belief, and we dive in and we make it ours for 25 years, and all of a sudden somebody brings something else that questions that, and we get angry. We get angry that they're questioning what we've believed for 25 years. And I say, "Well, I'm not trying to make you mad, but if it isn't true, don't you want to know it? do you want to keep believing that just because it makes you feel good?" And that's really what we run into. That's why people don't change churches. They're in a feel-good environment. Well, this ain't feel-good environment. All right. And I hope those of you out there, when you and I disagree, we're still friends. You're not mad at me because I see it differently. Because I want to know the truth, not a truth. I know it. I know the truth. So that's why I'm gonna jump off here today. I'm always conflicted in the morning, culture or Christianity. I try to blend the two. Which do I present today? That's always my challenge. And I want to do some more Christianity today if I can. Okay? Bear with me. Before I do, I want to help clear up the name of Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Hey, Spencer, if you can. Which one is it? It says from Dr. Down there, you see where it is, down well, it says from Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Do you see what I'm talking about, Spence? Did I send that to you? I'm sure I did. And it's really important. Okay, pull that up on the screen for us. I got this. I got a couple calls last night, and I got this one as well. And this was found on Facebook, so I want to make all of you aware of it. If you see it, you can refute it the best that you can. It takes a while for Spence to get those things pulled up, so bear with us here a second. There we go. Now he's getting up on the screen. This came to me from Casper McLeod, pastor friend of ours. This was found on Facebook or Twitter or Tweeter or Twoter or Tweeter. I don't know where it was. But it says this. Russ Dizdar died this weekend. Oddly enough, according to Dave Dobenmeyer, Sherry Tenpenny personally administered vitamins and minerals to Dizdar at his home. And according to DD, that's me, she watched him take them. And the next day he was dead. Sherry Tenpenny wouldn't know Russ Dizdar if he walked through the door and sat on her lap. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny never, ever, ever met or crossed paths with Russ Dizdar, ever. Now, here's what's crazy about this. This is Twitter, I guess. This thing is sent from an abortion clinic, right? But yet people put stuff like, they're watching right now today, see? They're watching us right now, the infiltration. Today it's happening. So I want everybody that you get the opportunity, if you come across this anywhere on Facebook or anything like that, Russ Dizdar and Sherry Tenpenny never, ever met in this earthly world. They didn't know each other, all right? They didn't. So I want everyone to know that the Luciferians, this is the Louisville Clinic Escorts. You see that? So they're trying to sow discord in a couple different ways. They want Sherry Tenpenny and Coach Dave to look like we're killing people. You get that, don't you, folks? You get that? And you would be shocked. No, you wouldn't be, at how many people believe it. So if you get a chance to refute this, please refute it. Sherry Tenpenny never met Russ Dizdar, not ever once, not ever, not one time, anywhere, anytime. Cool. Next thing. I'm going to Louisville this weekend. Spencer, pull up. It's just, there you are. Anybody down the Tennessee area, this has kind of happened pretty quickly. This Saturday, Coach Dave, Sherry Tenpenny.
Nashville, Coach. Nashville, not Louisville.
What did I say? Dumb me. Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to be in Nashville this Saturday for an event. Come and join us. It's in the afternoon. 11:30 VIP meet and greet. 12:30 via free admission open to the public. We are all going to be there. Now, how did this work out? Well, Dr. Sherry's already scheduled to be down there to make a presentation, and we decided we would have a gathering of the Christian Revolution. So if you close down there or know people in that area, please tell them, okay? Get the word out to them of what's going on there. Cool. Next thing, anything else? Let me open it up for the good of the group. Anybody got anything they want to throw on the table? Yes, I have some stuff I want to get to. But
Coach, you got to inform people about what's going on with the huddle out here.
Go ahead, Bobby, you inform them.
All right, due to the events with Russ and Tom Dunn and everything, and that's what it's primarily centered around, we're not going to have it, all right?
We're not having the event in Pennsylvania he's talking about. Go ahead.
Yeah, the event in PA. But we are going to have a replacement something next Saturday, PA Brett. You hear? All right, so as a replacement.
Yeah, I'm on. Go ahead.
Yeah, can you go ahead and describe what you're organizing for next Saturday?
Yeah, so we're going to have basically another sort of prep sort of thing. We're gonna do some shooting. People still need to hone their skills. Time is getting short. We're going to do some food prep, kind of like what we did out of Coach Dave's. So those that couldn't make that, and it's, you know, we don't expect people to come in from out of state and stuff. So if you want to, please join us. But this is going to be at our gun range next to Herndon, Pennsylvania.
So it's not going to be a great big event, and we can't do the event with Tom Dunn and because of everything that's going on with the surrounding elements.
Real quick, let me add one more piece of information. What we just canceled was big. Now, I know we're a ways off from April. We may or may not see it happen, but what's going on in my head is something even bigger. I'm talking about seeing the huge theatrical production of David on Thursday out here in PA at Sight and Sound. Friday, we're going to do Gettysburg again. And Saturday, I'm laying the groundwork in my head, hopefully get Tom Dunn and his bigger team out here to make it. And I want to reach out to our Black Road Regiment guy, Dan Fisher. I've communicating with him. So this is going on in our head to make it an even bigger and better weekend in April, if we see April.
If we see April. Good one, Bobby. Thanks. Myra, come on in, then Tracy real quick.
Good morning, Saints. I want to say thank you so much for your prayers. Tony Spellcase was postponed for 90 days. His next trial is January 18th. 2022, and thank you, Coach, for all you do for all of us. God bless you all.
Thanks, Myra. Tracy?
Oh, I love you, Myra. Hey, Coach, this is just an FYI for your cough. Kind of goes on the line of what Betty said a while ago about the gargling, the peroxide.
Yeah.
Only I've been gargling with Listerine, like regular Listerine, and then Q-tipping it up my nose. It sounds crazy, but it got rid of that annoying cough and that like tickle thing in the all the time. So maybe something to try. It, and my family's been doing it, and they've had success too.
All right, what that peroxide does is it kills the germs, same as the Listerine, because when you breathe things in, it goes through your nose and it sets there and just kind of like festers. And you got to get rid of that first.
Okay, and it really does work. So if anybody else is dealing with that.
So Tracy, if I use some of that stuff and then I die, can I say Sherry's Tenpenny did it to me?
Yep. Don't put me in the mix.
It's a crazy world. And I have I have what's called chronic laryngitis because I yell all the time. Right. So I have some of my larynx just kind of is inflamed almost like all the time. So thank you. I'll try it. Peroxide. Betty, maybe you can send me an email. Explain that a little bit better. I'll be careful what I'm drinking. I'm heading somewhere really good this morning. Stay with me. Go ahead, Gene.
I was just going to ask, do you take high blood pressure pill?
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes a high blood pressure pill causes that tickle in your throat.
That would make sense. Hey, folks, that's been my whole life. Okay. I've done this my whole. I appreciate all of you. The throat doctor told me just be quiet for 6 months. Said, yeah, here, cut off my whatever, huh? Come on in, Larry, then Dale.
Yeah, regarding the Dr. Sherry Tenpenny misinformation that was put out there, I was sitting here and the Holy Spirit just told me to share this, that all of us in this queue, we need to fully understand that the other side will tell any lie on any subject at any time to further its agenda. And that's why it's so important we learn to discern good from evil. Because if it ain't coming from good, we need to expose the lies as soon, as often, and as loud as we can.
Good point, Larry. Dale?
Amen, brother. I guess it's a new angle of attack. I saw also that Flip Benham is in having the same attack, right? That he's a homosexual now.
Yeah, I saw it's that too.
Stupid. Also, brother, I'm telling you, I love it. When I saw this article, I thought of you. 26 different state attorney generals are filing suit with the Supreme Court to hear a case on a high school football coach that was fired for praying with his team on the field, brother. You want to talk about real woke? That's called a real woke. We're winning.
We're winning, brother. It's a it's a forerunner. Can I shift gears? Yes, I can. It's my show. I want to shift gears. But this is, I know you guys think I'm crazy when I say this, but the Holy Spirit nudged me when I came down. Well, I got done doing my show prep, have all my show prep done. And I go back into I walk through the bedroom to put my shirt on. And I heard from the Holy Spirit. Michelle can attest to it. She was there. And it kind of threw everything out the table, out the window. And then I came in here and just before the show begins, and Larry's talking about the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availing much. And my head just went, what? Are you kidding me? Because I just heard that upstairs. I just heard that upstairs. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availing much. And I went into, I'm backing up now. I'm walking, Michelle's staying in, laying in bed. And I walk by the bed. I go back into the closet. And then I walk by the closet. I said to Michelle, people don't even know our weapons. And I just stopped for a minute. And I came back in after I'd put my shirt on. And I said, honey, what are the weapons of our warfare? And she got about two, maybe three. I love my wife. I'm not making fun of her. And she kind of froze. And then then as I'm coming down the steps, I go a little bit deeper. Because I pick up my emails every day and people are asking for people to pray for them. Please pray for this and pray for this and pray for this. And please, this brother needs prayer. Please pray. Please pray. And I thought, I'm going to pray for him. Okay, here, I'm going to pray for him. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That's a prayer. But is that effective? That isn't even on topic. That prayer. I'll pray for you, brother. Touch Larry, Lord. Is that what Larry wants me to do? Larry, when you ask me to pray for you, Lord, be kind to Larry. Is that what you want me to do, Larry? If I'm in a real war, if I'm in a real battle of darkness, fighting for whatever, if I say pray for Russell Dizdar, what, Lord, please touch Shelly Dizdar. Really? Because I was found in where is it, Spencer? Let me look down here real quick. I sent this information to him today. I found in Ephesians 6. Pull that up, if you could, Spence, real quick. By the way, the Nebraska district attorney approved ivermectin. We need more of that. The Nebraska district attorney said ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, legal in this state. I don't even know if he has the authority to do it. Go to 12, Spence.
Amen.
Put on the whole armor of God. Verse 10. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not my might, not my strength, because it's weak. My strength is weakness. Then you put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Okay, I get that. But against principalities. I don't get that. Against powers. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I'm going to tell you this. 98% of the church world doesn't even know what the hell that means. And as a result, our prayers aren't effectual. If we are at war, if you are at war and you are a sailor and you're on a boat and the battle is being fought in the high mountains, you have no part in the war, unless you can sit and shoot your guns from 7 miles away and have a, then you're involved with it. But the weapons of your warfare change according to your environment, and they change according to what it is that you're wrestling against. And we have no understanding of it, nor dare I say it. Our prayers are powerless most times because they're just like, it's like watching one of those old Western movies when they shoot the gun in the air, ping, 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 ping. For the most part, our prayers aren't effective. Oh, they can be fervent, although Larry says that they look at the original, fervent wasn't part of it. But you can be fervent and not effective. Or you can be effective and not fervent. I want to be effective. So I'm going to ask right now, we're going to do a quiz in here with this. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Where is that, Dale? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That's 2 Corinthians, isn't it? 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. I'm close to it right here. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. I can't believe Dale hadn't popped right in and said, Coach, it's in 1 Corinthians 28 or something like that. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
10-4.
What's that?
2 Corinthians 10:4.
I knew I was close. 2 Corinthians 10:4. Remember, I got this in my closet today. I didn't take time to research this. So though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds. And then it tells us what those strongholds are. Imaginations. Every high and lofty thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So it's imaginations and it's truth. It's bringing into captivity thought, being successful in your thought life, and having in readiness to revenge what? Revenge all disobedience. Revenge all disobedience. So I want to start right here this morning. And can somebody tell me right now what are our weapons? The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are those weapons? Jim, go ahead. Come on in, Jim.
Logos.
Logos. Is that what you said?
Yep, truth.
Logos. Truth is a weapon. All right? Randy.
Coach, I believe it's Isaiah 11 where what Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord, comprised of seven spirits, I think that's the whole foundation for all of the weapons, Coach. If that's what come upon him, of course, that's fulfillment when he got baptized and the Holy Spirit descended on him. Okay, then look what he did. He went out in the wilderness. He was able to stand against Satan, fast for 40 days, and that launched his ministry. He never looked back, Coach. This is what we must do. And I don't say all these come out of us at one time, and they come out of us at different times. If the Spirit of the Lord, if we're full of the Spirit, all these are weapons, Coach. Knowledge, understanding, fear of the Lord, might, all kinds of power, whatever we need in the moment, Coach. It's the manifestation of the Holy Spirit coming out of us. That's the greatest weapon, I think, Coach.
Without backtracking, it's understanding who we are through Christ, is it not? Who we are through Christ. And so if we're going to be effective in this weaponry, this war, this was prompted to me a bit. I got a text message this morning from Stephanie. Let me read what Stephanie said here. Go, Stephanie, get yourself ready. Come in here a second. If for $20 right now, Larry will give all of you $20. Get out a piece of paper and pencil and write down your weapons. Just do it right now. See if you can do it. What are the weapons? Because we know what the weapons aren't. We know the weapons aren't carnal, beating people up and screaming and hollering at people. I mean, that may be, I don't know. I don't even, what are carnal weapons? What does that even mean? What is a carnal weapon? I think a carnal weapon means a weapon that you're using just to satisfy you. That's what I think a carnal weapon is.
Prayer?
Well, yeah. But just prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Does that? Hey, Reggie. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Was that effectual, Reggie? Did that prayer do anything? And how many prayers do we pray? They don't do anything.
I'm trying hard to hold back right now, Coach.
Well, we'll give you a chance here in a second, because I think this is critical. I think we I think we use the term, well, brother, I pray for you. First of all, we don't. And number two, we pray amiss. The Bible says that, doesn't it? That you pray, it's possible to pray amiss. What does it mean, pray amiss? I mean, you ain't doing it right. You're shooting a gun at the wrong thing. You got the wrong target. And if you're praying amiss, you're no different than a guy firing a gun up in the air. You're hoping the bullet comes down a mile away and hits somebody. It might. But we have no understanding. We're not even taught any understanding of our spiritual weaponry and what it really means. Here's what Stephanie, remember, she's a former pagan. Here's what she said to me today. I don't want to go there. We're looking for some real hard-hitting prayer warriors interested to help us pray round the clock, target people in places at certain times. Effectual prayer. We will give details soon. She and I are going to take the midnight to 3 a.m. shifts. We're looking for two people together. This is imprecatory prayers, shake, rattle, and roll. We're doing hard battle. Now I lay me down to sleep. Lord, watch over Joey. The enemy's feeling strong right now. Coming up on Halloween, their high holiday. Man, oh man, they're building a celebration like it's a Super Bowl coming up. And they're doing shake, rattle, and roll, hard battle. They're feeling strong. The underground's buzzing. We have to be ready for what's coming, Coach, and we're not ready for what's coming. Not letting stupid Halloween just go by without a fight. Halloween matters to the Luciferians. Tracy, come on. What's your name? Stephanie, come on in if you're there. And then I know Reggie wants to jump in with both feet on this too.
Listen, folks,
this is critical. Because if you're just throwing prayers up and they're like fireworks up in the sky and they're just going up on the sky and they're not effective.
They fizzle out.
They fizzle out. Thank you. Go ahead. Go ahead, Steph.
We need to focus right now. First of all you Luciferians and you people out there that are living it up right now, and I'm not even going to give you the justification. We all know what we're talking about. Dude, all you did was stir up the 10 million fierce that Russ wanted. So I just want to let you people out there know that, you dark practicing people out there, you literally stirred up everybody that was still just kind of like waiting there. And we're going to do what Russ wanted. So I just want to tell you people out there, Jesus is coming for you. You better repent, because last chance.
Stephanie, would it be fair to say, we don't know if it was effective or not, but the dark side was targeting Russ Dizdar?
They're targeting Russ Dizdar. They're targeting anybody who's standing up and inspiring anybody else, anybody who's standing up and speaking truth about Jesus, about what's going on with our so-called government, what's going on with the clot shot. What's going on? It's all lies. We're all being deceived. I hope I'm saying it right and giving Russ truth when he called it the Mecca schizmato, that they turn. They don't really show you what they are, and it's everywhere, all over. And we need to start praying everything and everybody with what they really are to start showing. We want them to be exposed. We want to tear it down. We want to focus on their cones of power that they're doing, where they're doing their little fires and where you're doing your little chants and where you're doing. I'm sorry, I'm shaking right now, Jesus. Yeah. Come bring fire, Holy Spirit, down to these people, because they're partying it up right now.
Steph.
And we need to focus. We're sad. We've been kicked in the, you know what? We're upset. Fire it up. He wanted
Amen.
10 million fierce down here. Let's go. Let's get fired up. Let's focus on the people. Let's focus on the places. Let's get it together. We're sad. We're upset. Let's turn that and do the work of the kingdom of Jesus. And let's not take it anymore, people.
But here's our problem, Stephanie. And we'll let Reggie come in here in a second. Are you looking at me? The average Christian has no idea how to effectively pray. No idea. No idea.
Full moon tonight, too.
Full moon tonight, too.
Huh? And they like to start their prayers on the full moon. People, you dark ones that are listening, I know who you are. And there's others who know who you are, all of you, from the bottom to the top. And you know what? We're coming after you. We're coming after you. Jesus is coming after you. We're tired of sitting. We're tired of watching. And there's warriors now who you have rattled us for the last time.
We call it spiritual. We call it spiritual warfare.
Spiritually speaking, we are coming for you.
We call it spiritual warfare, yet we don't even engage in it.
That's
Reggie, I feel your heart pounding. Go ahead.
That's the key right there. When you were reading in Corinthians 10, there were words there that Christians read and they're not understanding what the actually is being said. So when Christians pray, they send up words and their eyes to heaven and they're not engaging with the full armor of God and putting themselves, their soul in the spirit world. This is how they battle in the spirit world, not in the flesh. It affects the flesh. Okay, you have the power of Christ to put them down in the spirit world. You take out the stronghold. You rip up all of their words. You hold on to their demons that they're trying to invoke. That's the only power they have. So people, get with it. Contact us. We're trying to get true people who are not afraid. Okay, they're gloating right now. There are what we call comms out there. There are comms happening left and right through all of the occult organizations. They're gloating at the death of Russ. And they are saying in their comms that they're coming after the hard hitters. Wake up. I am so mad right now, so forgive me. You guys, I'm up at 3 a.m. praying around the clock. Stephanie's texting me. She's up. We're contacting people that we have teams. They're up. We're praying. We're not going to bed for Thanksgiving dinner.
We need you, Sparks. We need the Jesus Sparks. You know what, Satan? I hate you. I hate you, Satan. I hate all you evil things out there. We hate you as much as you hate us. We still want you to repent and come to Jesus if you're able, if you have a soul. But if not, no. No holds barred no more, man.
So we need help. You can contact us. We'll put you on. We'll put you on a group. Please. We're going to be praying at 6 a.m., 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m. We need people to help us to take these shifts.
And we'll help you. And we don't know. We don't have every single answer, but we have to do something. Now is the time. There's a full moon. It's before Halloween. It's 2021. Everything's going to beep. They just got to Russ. Shelly's in the hospital. We need to pray for Coach and Michelle. We need to pray for Doug Hagman. We need to pray for Steve Quayle, Dave Hodges, Hal Turner, L.A. Marzulli, Tom Dunn, all the teams. Everybody that's out there, man, where are you? Backup. Now is the time. Now is the game. Now, if you've ever wanted to do anything with your life and change it and do something for Jesus, this is it. I am running up and down the sideline, banging a drum. Jesus wants you now. Today, this day, this time, this minute, we need you. He needs you. It's time for the kingdom.
Amen. Was this a blood target?
What's that, Joe?
Was this a blood target?
Well, listen, without even getting into that, here's what I know. Russ said to me all the time, not all the time. Russ says, Coach, I'd ask him if he's afraid. He says, Coach, I'm in the Lord's hand. They can't touch me unless the Lord permits it, right? So whether we want to admit it or not, the Lord permitted this to happen. Permitted it. Now, the question is, why did he permit it to happen? And a better question is, did it have to happen? Was there an arsenal, an army around Russ protecting him? I don't know. I looked up the word. We all know about the imprecatory Psalms. There's how many of them? How many of you guys pray the imprecatory Psalms? Somebody said, I don't even know what you're talking about. Oh, you don't? Well, there's part of the problem. Imprecatory Psalms are Psalm 5, 10, 17, 35, 58, 59, 69, 70, 79, 83, 109, 129, and 140. Spencer, pull up Webster's for me, Webster's 1828 dictionary. Because as Reggie was speaking there, I looked up imprecatory. Type it in there, Spence. No, E-M-P-R-E. No, no, I am. I'm sorry. I am PRECATORY. Imprecatory. Look, containing a prayer for evil to befall a person. Folks, we have imprecatory psalms. We have people go to boxing matches to watch one of those guys fall. Wars are won and lost by who falls. Right? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord. Oh, boy, that scared him, didn't it? That's got him running. Lord, touch Randy. Oh, Lord, be with Mark. What? What? We have the ability to direct angels, send angels on behalf. We don't even know what our weapon is. Oh, let me jump in here a minute. Go ahead, Clay, then Rich.
What you just said, Coach, that's what I was about to hit on, was communication and prayer go hand in hand. I mean, that's what it is. And if it's not effective, it's not going to do any good. I mean, Chad Estes would be a good person to have in here on this, law enforcement officer. If you're on the radio, you got the power to call for backups. You got the power to call for reinforcements. Tell them what the enemy's doing on the other end. Let them know where to go, position roadblocks. But you got to tell them what color the car is, which way they're headed, what you want them to do, where you're at. You just can't get on the radio and say, please help me. Please help me. That ain't going to be effective. You got to let them know the details and what you want them to do and where you want them to go.
Amen. Clay, that's well said, brother. That's well said. We're not taught this. You're not taught this in your church. How many in your church would be allowed to ever do an imprecatory psalm? Stand up and read something like that. Say, boy, the Lord must have been mad on that, or King David must have been mad on that day. Wow. Get him, Lord. Make David more loving. Come on, Rich.
Yeah, Dave, man, I want to get on the tail end there of what he just said. You know, in Ephesians 6, Ephesians 6:10 talks about the armor of God. But then you jump over, then you keep reading over to 6:17. It tells you what your weapons are. And that's, or actually in 18, it says to pray always, always with all prayer and all supplication in the Spirit. The key is to be praying in the Spirit. And watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication with for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in the bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So I guess the key to this one is everybody needs to look in the mirror and say, do I have the Holy Spirit in me? The baptism of the Holy Spirit, wow. Like was talked about in Acts.
Amen, Rich. We're at war. We're at war. Craig, come on in. No zeros.
Coach, our strongest weapon is our relationship with the Lord and who we are in the Lord. And I'm going to read a passage. We need to pray to the Lord and use the scriptures of the Lord for the Lord. Now, when Moses came down the first time, Israel has making this golden calf. And we were talking earlier, the prayer, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availed much. Well, Moses was pretty righteous. So look at this conversation that Moses has with the Lord. And I'm picking up in Exodus 32:7. And the Lord said to Moses, go down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They've turned against aside quickly, and many have command, which I commanded them. They've made themselves a molded calf and worshiped it and sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed they are stiff-necked people. Now, this is what God says. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. So he's basically, I'm done, and I'll make you a great nation. So he's saying, we're cleaning the chart off here. I'm going to make you, Moses, we're just going to do away with it. But look at what Moses does. And Moses pleaded with the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you've brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. Why should the Egyptians, in other words, he's saying, don't let your enemies speak bad about you, about why should the Egyptians speak and say he brought them out to harm them and kill them in the mountains and consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants to the stars of heaven in this land and have spoken and give to your descendants, and they shall inherit forever. This is the thing. So the Lord relented from the harm which he had said he would do to his people. In other words, the communication and who we are in Christ and the authority that he's given, and we're the elect, and we are overcomers. We remind the Lord these things of who we are.
We don't even know who we are. We don't even know who we are, Craig. We don't even know who we are. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That's as far as we. Listen, I know a bunch of you want to get in here. Spencer, I just sent you. Stephanie just notified me there by text. Remember when we were praying the imprecatory Psalms? We were doing that for a while. Remember? Maybe we need to pick that up again. All right. This ain't no now I lay me down to sleep Psalm. It's Psalm 35. It's a long one. I'm not going to read it all. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and rise up for my help. Draw the spear and the javelin against my pursuers. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Let them be put to shame and dishonor who seek after my life. Let them be turned back and disappointed who devise evil against me. Let them be like the chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them away. Let their way be dark and slippery with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. For without cause, they hid their net from me. Without cause, they dug a pit for my life. Let destruction come upon him when he will know it, when he does not know it. And let the net that he hid ensnare him. Let him fall into his destruction. Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord. Oh, yeah. Yeah, my soul's going to rejoice in the Lord when I'm stamping on their head. That's what it says. Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord with exaltation and salvation. And all my bones will say, oh, Lord, who's like you? Delivering the poor from him who's too strong for him, and the poor and the needy from him who robs him. Oh, my goodness, malicious witnesses rise up. They ask me of things that I do not know. They repay me evil for good. My soul is bereft. But I, when they were sick, I wore sackcloth. I afflicted myself with fasting. I prayed with head bowed on my chest. I went about as though I grieved for my friend or my brother, as one who laments his brother. I bowed down in mourning. But at my stumbling, they rejoiced and gathered. They gathered together against me. Wretches whom I did not know tore at me without ceasing. That's what Reggie and Stephanie say is going on right now, folks. They are gathering together and they're tearing like profane mockers at a feast. They gnash at me with their teeth, Lord. How long, Lord? How long are you going to watch this go on? Rescue me from their destruction, my precious life. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I will thank you in the great congregation. In the mighty throng, I will praise you. Let not those rejoice over me who are wrongfully my foes. And let not those wink the eye who hate me without a cause. They do not speak peace. But against those who are quiet in the land, they devise words of deceit. We just read it about Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. They open their mouths against me. And they say, aha, aha, look at this. You've seen it, O Lord. Be not silent, O Lord. Be not far from me. Awake and rouse yourself for my vindication, for my cause, for my God and my Lord. Vindicate me, O Lord, my God, according to your righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, our heart's desire. Let them not say, we've swallowed him up. Let them be put to shame and disappointed altogether who rejoice at my calamity. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor who magnify themselves against me. Let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say evermore, great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant. Then my tongue shall tell of your righteousness and of your praise. all day long.
Now, amen.
Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Okay, here we go. Hang on. A lot of you want in here today. I know it's good, isn't it? Good topic. Huh? You won't get this in your Baptist church. So that guy who's masking and telling you to take the jab, he ain't going to tell you this. All right, let's go. Where am I, coach? Here we go. I'm going to sign. Here we go. Get ready. Over the next, coach, where is it? In precatory Psalms. I got it in there. I know I do. Where are they? Let's go back here one. Okay, here you go. Right now, over the next, once a week for the next week. Once a week for the next week. Who is going to pray daily Psalm 5? Somebody, you don't have to say I do. Somebody say I got that. I don't care how many of you do. Somebody,
I got that.
Okay,
I got that.
I got that.
Who's going to pray Psalm 10? Psalm 10. You're going to start, begin praying. Who's got it? Somebody say
I got that.
Who's going to pray Psalm 17? Psalm 17.
I got 17.
I got 17.
Okay, who's got 35?
I can do 35.
I got 35.
Who's got 58?
I've got it.
Who's got 59?
I'll do it.
I got it.
Who's got 69? Write them down. Remember them.
I got it.
Who's got 70?
I got it.
Who's got
70?
Who's got Psalm 79?
I got it.
Who's got Psalm 83?
79.
I got it.
Who has Psalm 109?
I got it.
Who's got Psalm 129?
I got it, coach.
Who's got Psalm 137?
I got it.
And who's got Psalm 140?
I can do it.
You do it.
Hey, coach.
Yes.
You didn't say Psalm 52. And that's definitely an imprecatory prayer. And
good, you got it.
I got that one.
Okay, cool. Got that one. All right. Hey, folks, they're at war against us, and we're not at war against them. Right? They are. I'm not speaking. Hey, you don't think they want to take me out? You don't think they want? Huh? You don't think they want? I'm not trying to put myself on a pedestal. You don't think they want to take me out? Come on, man. Come on. Oh, I got a lot of people want to get in here. Don't I? Glenn, go ahead. Don't even know how to pray. We don't even know our warfare. We don't even know our weapons.
Yeah. You know, Stephanie blew the bugle this morning for a charge. It reminds me, you know, I'm a little bit of a history buff. And every time I read about the successful generals, the reason that they were successful is they never stopped pushing the attack. You think of people like George Patton. You think of Stonewall Jackson, Nathan Bedford Forrest. These guys were successful because they didn't stop pushing the attack. Mm-hmm. And so Stephanie just blew the bugle and said, time to push the attack.
Time to push the attack. I'm with you. God bless you. On charge! Come on now, people.
Let's do it. Let's get fired up.
Now I lay me down to sleep. Come on in, Reggie. Your hands up. I thought you wanted to.
No, sorry. It wouldn't let me push mute.
Okay. Free by truth. Free by truth. Come on in.
No, I needed this. And Reggie, put me on this list. I am fired up. And I have Psalm 18 that you forgot. I'm going to read it right now. Because I love this. It says, hands to war. That a bow of steel is broken in my arms. Thou hast also given me shield of thy salvation and thy right hand hath hold me up, that the gentleness have made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under my feet, under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and have overtaken them. Amen. Neither did I turn again until they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. I have Psalm 18.
Got it. Hey, folks, sorry. It's time to pray. Sick him, Lord. Not save him, Lord. Sick him, Lord.
Amen.
Sick him. Then save him. Sick him, Lord. Get him off my back, will you, Lord? Get him off of me, will you?
Coach, my mute button wasn't working, so I was going to say something else. if that's okay. I'm sorry. So my kids had a religion lesson because we homeschool, and people would think it's very odd. And I know a particular person. I'm not going to give his name, but we've been tracking him, and he's a high-level Luciferian. I don't like using Satanists. So he's a Luciferian, and he's a knight. And he, on his Facebook, proudly just this week showed his ritual for his arming up. Okay? So he goes through all of his armor, his house, his horses, and his armor. You'll see the Baphomet, you'll see everything, and he's doing incense, and he's got music playing, and they're praying. Christians do not know how to arm up. He's preparing for a battle in the spirit realm because they're getting ready, and they already have been doing blood rituals. This is how they prepare: cannibalism, blood drinking, sex orgies with blood all over them, beheading of Christians, beheading of children, okay? What I was showing my children was this ritual, and I was giving them and teaching them not to show them evil, but to know the enemy. And that's what you are missing. You know not your enemy.
Hmm. Amen, Reggie.
Amen, Reggie.
Joe Allen, come on in. Then Tracy, Joe Allen, then Debbie. Go, Joe.
From what Doug said, 2 weeks ago, Russ had a gun pointed at his belly.
Yep.
God knew what Russ was, how long Russ was going to live.
Next man up, baby. Next man
That's
up.
That's right. Our century failed us. That's why we're up and we're at arms right now to bring up others out of this and pray against what's going on.
Amen.
Could this have been a man hit, or could this have been a spiritual hit?
No matter what, no matter what the Lord permitted it, next man up. That's all I know.
That's
Debbie,
right.
Come on in. Debbie, come on in.
Well, first of all, I thank everybody for helping me to do something with my grief, because I only met Russ once, but he was an amazing man, and I received one of those bear hugs, and I just didn't know what to do with my grief. Well, now I know. And Steve Amen. Quill came on last night, bless his heart. He's been down, almost dead for 21 days, and he talked about Russ and how it was a hit and how there had been human sacrifice to make this happen. And that he has a list, and they were all the people he didn't say all the people, but they're all the people that Stephanie was talking about. I think it was Stephanie. All these people that she listed out are the ones that are on the hit list. So I feel like too that we can not only pray for all of them, but maybe people can pick one and really pray for like Steve Quell or pray for Doug Hagman to like focus those prayers on those that are really on the
absolutely
edge. And it's almost like, you know, you can pick a person and pray for that one, you know, or something.
Amen.
So I just felt, thank you so much. I didn't know what to do with my grief, but now I know.
Amen. Mark, come on in.
Coach, I'm just encouraged. I had to head to an 8 o'clock, but I wanted to just say a couple things. One is thank you so much for having this sort of forum and this sort of team assembled for me to learn from. I'm just very encouraged, and I appreciate that. The other thing is when we think about each other in the body, I'm so, so happy to know you guys, but pray for one another's children.
Mm.
Pray for one another's family. These are the ways of Satan. They're going to take us out, the things we care for, the things we love. It's a distraction. Stay on target, but pray for one another's children. A lot of times there's not much we can do, but do your best to be a part of each other's children's lives. These little ones need to know that there's an army standing beside their parents. Okay. And we're being oppressed. Their children, we know our families and so forth are being oppressed. That's how they're getting to us. We are the warriors.
Amen.
So I love you guys.
Hey, Spencer, listen, I want to get Tracy and Larry in real quick. Spencer, go to the top of what's on the screen, please. Go to the beginning of this song. Folks, listen, personalize it. Personalize it. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend against Coach Dave. Fight against those who fight against him. You understand? Take the me out of it and direct it to those you want to cover. Steve Quayle, Doug, whoever it might be, personalize it towards them. Come on in, Larry, then Tracy. Finish this up.
Yes, I just wanted to say, you know, when things happen like Russ Dizdar passing and things like that, most of us start thinking, why? But that's not the thing. That's not the question to ask. The question to ask is, what is my role now, Lord? What is my role now? And that verse that says all things work to the good, that's tied with God's will. Because when you God told us to pray for his will, and then whatever happens is his will. And then things work together for good if those of us who remain, if those of us who are still around, will open our ears and listen to our instructions for what we're to do now.
Tracy, good word, Larry. Tracy.
Oh, this is all great. I've got goosebumps here. I was that person, the lay me down to sleep, pray, just, you know, forgive me of my sins once a day thing. And since your weekend at Sky High, something changed. All that intense spiritual prayer and laying of the hands on people, I am praying so much more intensely and more often. And this is this great group of people. Oh my, I just this has really got me goosebumpy today. Amen. Thank you, everybody. I love you all. And can you put all of those Psalms in the chat? Because I'm new at this and I really want to look at those.
Amen. Okay, Tracy, I got to wrap it up. Roger, come on in real quick.
Oh, real quick. My understanding of scripture is if we are in sin, he does not hear our prayers. It's not even conveyed to him. Secondly, Jesus gave us the model prayer, our Father who art in heaven. Thirdly, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. I understand the importance of fervency. Don't get me wrong. I get that. I don't want to be around boring prayers. I think we've got to be real careful about the more fervent you are, the more he hears you. That is not biblical. But I think you've got, I mean, he gave us the model prayer. Now, the little old lady who's 86 years old in her kitchen praying in the morning, are you telling me her prayer isn't as worthy as somebody who's out at the city council meeting praying outside for change? I don't think so. So I think we got to be a little careful here. I agree. We need more fervency, but we can't. And I think the Bible also talks about Jesus is our intercessor. He takes our prayers to our God. So there are some things here we've got to kind of play into, but he gave us the model prayer, our Father who art in heaven. And I would be careful to challenge that model prayer and how it's delivered. Amen, I love you all.
I just put those precatory Psalms in the chat. We're on overtime. Jeff, real quick, I'll let you get in here. Come on. Tell me a story, not the life story.
No? Yeah, I hear you. Going back with the Russ Dizdar thing, what everybody was talking about, a friend of mine who went through AA told me once that they say some of us have to die so that the rest of us can live.
Amen.
And so I found that to be true throughout my lifetime, where it's like, you know, one drops down, two pop up.
And man down, next man up. Gotta run.
And then I'll tell you something else.